Before I take the offering, and before we get into the message this morning, I'll remind you of two things. Number one, I made myself a note. What's it all about? If I were to ask you, what's my job? What would you say?
What's your job?
Yeah.
Exactly what you're doing.
Exactly what I'm doing, which is
training us.
Help you learn how to live victoriously.
Amen.
While I'm learning myself. But I made myself a note. I was thinking about this the other night. And live victoriously. You're going to have aches. You're going to have pains. You're going to have some backache once in a while. You're going to have some disappointments. You're going to have some discouragements. You're going to have a headache. You're going to have a sinus thing. All that's part of the mix. But in it all, and through it all, never lose sight of this. I'm not going to get into the message yet, but I'll bring this up in the message. Understand this. God is preparing you for eternity.
Amen.
And when Billy Graham and D. James Kennedy says that in their opinion, 85% of the people sitting in church have never been born again, that's scary. But that may explain why our nation is where it is today.
Amen.
We don't have the prayer power we think we've got. When 85% of the people sitting in churches, according to Billy Graham and D. James Kennedy, according to them, in their opinion, only 15% of the people sitting in churches across the nation are saved. That's amazing. So what I'm going to today, getting into today's message, I don't know when I've ever taught anything more important than what I'm teaching you today. I want you, when I tell you to open your Bible to the scriptures we're going to go to, I'm going to ask you in Colossians chapter 2 in a few minutes. But I want you to watch every scripture. Stay with me through every scripture. Because I'm going to tell you, of all the messages you can preach, what I'm teaching this morning spiritually is one of the most important messages you'll ever hear, because you have to understand something. You're one heartbeat from eternity.
Amen.
You're one heartbeat from eternity.
Yes, sir.
And you'll hear me say this in the message, but I'm going to say it now to prepare your heart. It took Bertha Smith, that old Southern Baptist missionary to China, to finally positionalize me on this. She came through so much as unreal. She was a walking supernatural example of God's grace and mercy. But I had to deal with what she taught for a long, long time before it could finally settle in my spirit. But it was this: God has turned all of his work over to the church. End of conversation. God has turned all of his work over to the church. And it's not till the church fails that Christ has to get involved in an end time scenario. Father God, you're here, Jesus. You're here in your spirit. And Father, I believe that today's message is a message that must resonate in our hearts. We have to know who we are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We have to understand who we are, what we are, all that we are. And I'm going to ask you now, before we ever get into the message, Father, prepare the hearts.
Yes.
Prepare the hearts to receive the Word of God. Father, help the people here today and the ones who will listen to this message on the radio this week. Help them understand who they are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
What is available to them and what we're responsible for. Father, this is so heavy and yet it's so blessing. It's a blessing, Father, to know who we are. Oh, Father God, anoint me this morning. anoint me to develop this the way you have been putting it in my spirit these last few days. And help us all to leave here this morning with a better understanding of who we are in Christ Jesus, what is ours in Christ Jesus, what's expected of us in Christ Jesus. Because, Father, you've turned all your work over to the church.
Amen.
You've turned it all over to the church. I'm asking for anointing this morning, Jesus. I've sensed you're here. You're here, and I know that. And going into the message this morning, oh, Father God, give us ears to hear, hearts to believe. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Bibles are open to Colossians chapter 2. I've entitled this, Walk Out Who You Are. Walk Out What You Are. I've been at this a while now. And I'm convinced, more so every day, that the average child of God does not understand who they are, what they are, and what's available to them. And when you walk out of this place this morning, I want you to have a better understanding of that. Now, today's message, Paul is in prison. It's his obedience to God that put him in prison. But he's in prison. His obedience to God cost him. Your obedience will cost you.
Amen.
My obedience has cost me. It will cost you when you're going to obey God. The things you can't be a part of, the things you can't accept, the things you can't receive, and there's things that other people won't understand about you, all because you belong to God. But you have to understand this. Obedience. There's no substitute. There's no substitute for obedience. None. And obedience is not always pleasant nor comfortable. Many times, to obey God is not a pleasant experience. Many times, to obey God is not a comfortable experience. And any number of believers can testify to that. Their workplace, even in the home place at times. And you have to understand this. Your faith is going to be tested. You're going to get to find out if you really believe what you say you believe. Your faith is going to be tested. And sometimes we fail the test. When you get to heaven, you can ask any number of believers what kind of test they had. And any number of believers can tell you what kind of test they had, but faith is going to be tested. Noah's faith was tested. Abraham's faith was tested. All the men of the word, their faith was tested. You see, I think one of the, and I keep bringing this out every Sunday because I'm determined that you're going to get there. I'm convinced that the average church, the average pastor, never explains to the people that they come into the kingdom of God as a spiritual infant. And you got five stages of spiritual maturity you got to grow through. And I don't know if any of us ever really reached the fifth stage or not, where we could be called adults in the spirit realm. But you got to come through situations in life and circumstances in life that are going to challenge you and threaten you and concern you. But that's the only way your faith is going to ever grow. If you're going to develop faith, you got to be tested.
Amen.
Paul's faith was tested. He's in prison when he writes this. But even though he had been scourged, imprisoned, he remained faithful.
Amen.
He remained faithful to the Lord. And he's in prison. And while he's in prison, he's seeking ways to encourage those believers in other places while he himself is in prison. He's suffering, but he didn't let that slow him down. Colossians is one of those he wrote in prison. He's in prison when he writes this. So let's go there. We go begin with Colossians chapter 2 and verse 1. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Paul's burden. If I were to ask you, what is your burden? You say, well, I don't have one. Paul's burden was advancing the kingdom of God. That was his one goal in life. Paul wanted to see lost souls saved, and he wanted to see saved souls discipled. Now, slow down just a moment. Before, and I'll bring this out again in the message, before the foundation of the world, before anything was created, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, putting together the package that would create the cosmos. And in that package, they knew out of all of humanity, from ages past to the future, they knew from out of all of humanity, from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, they knew who would and who would not be born again.
Amen.
They knew that. Either God is omniscient or he's not.
Amen.
If he's omniscient, he's never learned anything new. If he's omniscient, he's never been surprised by anything. He was never surprised at anything you said or did. Nothing surprises God. Nothing catches him by surprise. And so Paul knew we've got to reach souls for Christ. Once we reach that soul, and this is where the church has failed so miserably, once we get them one to Christ, they're born again, now they've got to be discipled. Word of God says, make disciples.
Amen.
Well, that was the instructions to go take the gospel and make disciples. And understand this, discipleship is a process. Discipleship is a process, and you can't bypass any level. You've got to come through each and every singular level in the process of discipleship, growing into spiritual maturity. You can't bypass a single one. Paul goes on, for I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. Paul's conflict was in the emotional, spiritual realm. That was his conflict. Now, he had physical conflict, as yes, he had opposition. But the great conflict was in the spirit emotional realm. And it's in the spiritual emotional realm where he was grieving. He was burdened. He was grieving over a lost humanity. And wanted to see as many in that series of humanity that he could reach. He wanted to bring them to Christ, to a saving knowledge of Christ. Do you understand that you, I'll get here again in a moment, you are an ambassador for Christ.
Amen.
You represent Christ everywhere you go. Everything you are, everything you do, everything you're part of, you are an ambassador for Christ. Now, Christ Jesus is in the garden. He's praying, he's facing the cross, and he knows he's facing the cross. He's not going to miss the cross. He's going to the cross, but he prays in Luke chapter 22 and verse 44. This is the night before his crucifixion, the night of. And being in agony, emotional, mental, spiritual agony, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Folks, slow down. I realize we're coming up on Easter Sunday. Next Sunday is Easter, and it's more than a new outfit and a new set of shoes. I think we fail to realize sometimes that this was perhaps one of the most important moments in the history of the universe. This moment right here has got to be one of the most awesome moments in all of time and eternity, because so much is hanging in the balance. Is there any way to bypass this? Is there any way to get accomplished what we want to get accomplished without my going to the cross? Is there any way to bypass this so that a sinful man can be reconciled to holy God? Is there any way to get around it? That moment had arrived. And he knew what that moment incurred. He knew that he was going to the cross as a sacrifice for the sins of humanity, for as many as would believe, as many as would receive. And he knew that on that cross, he is going to become the sodomite, the whorehopper, the whore, the profane, the lesbian, the sodomite. He knew. He knew that on that cross, he who knew no sin would become sin by absorbing all the sin and becoming the sin of all who would ever believe and receive. Which is why he cried, "My God." I'll get to that in a moment. Why have you forsaken me? He knew what he was facing. Colossians 2:1 once again. "For I want you to know," Paul says, "what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many has not seen my face in the flesh." He's confronting one of the most emotional, spiritual moments man could ever face. What's yours? Do you ever have a emotional, spiritual moment that just really rings you out? Have you had them? Do you have them? Have you had that kind of conflict? What's your burden for the kingdom of God? What is your burden in life? I want to see the kingdom of God advanced. I want to see that happen. I want to see lost souls saved and saved souls discipled. That's what challenge is all about, making disciples. When I look back across this ministry and where God brought us from and what God brought us through and where God's brought us to, and then I look at our church planters in the Philippines, do you realize that when Bob Mueller, Captain, United States Coast Guard, retired, friend of mine, came to our meetings in New Orleans, when he volunteered to go to the Philippines to check our work over there, Bob Mueller was the first white man that some of them had ever seen. And that was just in the last 5 years. He was the first white man that some of them had ever seen. And you are taking the gospel into places that have never even heard of Jesus.
Amen.
You are taking the gospel into places that have never even heard the name of Jesus. We're taking the gospel in among tribes and among tribals. And when you look at everything that's going on here, Christ had a burden for the world. He went to the cross for humanity. He didn't go to the cross for just one little group of people. He went to the cross for humanity. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, he was concerned about humanity, which is why he said to the disciples in Matthew 28, 19, "Go you therefore and teach." Now, this is after his resurrection. After his resurrection, he's been crucified. He's been resurrected. And he shows up. He says, "Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Make disciples." That's what he's saying, is make disciples. Any ministry that's not seeking to make disciples is missing God.
Amen.
Just that simple, missing God. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2. "I want them," Paul goes on, "I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself." Slow down. Look at that verse very carefully. "I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love." Them. Who's them? Who's he talking about when he says them? He's talking about those that he had not personally met. He's in prison. But he's writing church planters that he's trained, that he's raised. He trained them. And he's telling them his burden. How much of the religious community does not understand God's mysterious plan of salvation? Slow down and listen to me. Notice what he's saying. "I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. Only Christ and through Christ can one access glory, can one access heaven. You see, so much of the religious community does not understand God's plan. Folks, you got 4,000 denominations in the world.
Hello.
You have 4,000 denominations in the world, and out of those 4,000, we've got one family of God.
Hello.
It's not Baptist, it's not Presbyterian, it's not Episcopalian. It's whosoever shall believe and receive. It's made up of people of every tribe, every tongue, every nation. That is the kingdom of God. And yet we're told that perhaps less than 15% of the world's population is born again. Less than 15%. Christ Jesus and Christ alone can provide reconciliation between sinful man and holy God. Only Christ. Once you understand that only Christ is the means by which sinful man can be reconciled to a holy God. Christ and Christ alone can provide that means. How much of the world does not understand that? Well, 4,000 denominations. 4,000 denominations do not understand that spiritual reality. Which tells you this. You've got major systems of religion misrepresenting the gospel.
Amen.
This gets close to home, folks. Mary can't save you.
No.
Peter can't save you. Only Christ Jesus. Amen. When you stop and look at this whole thing, the only system of religion, we have major systems of religion that are misrepresenting the gospel. They're spreading another gospel, which Paul says is no gospel at all. Because if it moves away from the centrality of Jesus Christ, I don't care if it puts Mary at the middle of it, Peter at the middle of it, or anything else. It is a wrong representation of the gospel.
That's right.
So, once you get down to the bottom line of it, what was true in that day is true in this day. They were misrepresenting it then. They misrepresent it today. Now the question is, you are mixing and mingling every day with people involved in those systems. You are mixing and mingling every day with people involved in those systems of religion, which is why we have to be sensitive to the Spirit. Every day of the world, you've got to be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. It may be just a passing comment that you make. It may be just a passing observation that you verbalize. Hear me. It may be just a passing comment that you drop at some specific time, at some specific place, when you're prompted by the Holy Spirit to make an observation and speak to the observation and make that comment. You may be the only individual who's ever opened that door for them to understand another area of spiritual truth.
Amen.
And you're there every day. You're out there mixing and mingling. I know I was in the business world. I was in the military. I've done the whole thing. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. And you have to understand that every day of the world, you're mixing and mingling with people. Some of them don't have the foggiest idea what Christianity is all about. They understand the religious world. They're involved in the world of religion, but they're not involved with Christ. So, I wonder, you know, sometimes you just may have to say, let's say you're listening to a conversation, and something off the charts is said, and you say, well, I wonder how God feels about that. That's a simple statement. But it gives them something to feed on. It gives them something to think about in the quiet hours of the night or the morning, but just a simple observation you've got. But see, it requires sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. It requires that sensitivity to the Holy Spirit that when this situation arises and that situation is there and the Spirit of God wants you to make a comment or an observation, it takes spirit sensitivity to recognize that. And then to do that, you're salt, you're light. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. In whom Jesus, that's who we're talking about, Jesus is whom. In whom Jesus, are hidden all, listen to this, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Christ Jesus has full, complete, unlimited wisdom and knowledge. Christ and Christ alone. All those, now here we start moving into deep water. If you are born again, you have access to the wisdom that created the universe.
Amen.
If you are born again, you have access to the wisdom that created the universe. As one adopted into the family of God, as one born again, adopted, child of God, access to the very throne of God Himself.
Amen.
That's your privilege. You're invited. You're told to come. You're invited. So you can go to Him for wisdom. You can go to Him for knowledge. But so many times we don't slow down. I can figure this thing out. I can do it. I can handle it. We don't slow down and take the time. I talk about winding your watch, even though you got a self-winding watch. But take the time to get before the Lord. You're in the middle of a conversation. Right in the middle of a situation. Slow down. This is one of the hardest things you will ever do, because why? So many times we're impulsive. We want to respond. We want to react. We want to get in on it. And there's times you need to sit down, shut up, be quiet, wind your watch, and hear from God before you open your mouth.
Amen.
Get the mind of God. How do I respond to this situation? Husbands, listen to me carefully. You'd be wise sometime just to shut up.
Amen.
And listen to what your wife has to say. You don't have to react. You have to respond. Wives, same thing for you. Because you see, once you say it, it's done. You can't take it back. It's out there. And it'll be in that other person's mind most likely. If it was an injurious thing, if it was a painful thing, if it was a hurtful thing, it will be there and go with them to their grave. Think before you speak. But be sensitive to the Holy Spirit about when to speak. And when you speak, what to speak. You can always slow down and say, Father, I'm your child. I'm 90 years old. It took me years and years and years and years to learn this. And I'm trying to help you come to grips with it now. But because you need to slow down and say, Father, I'm your child. How do I respond to this? How do I proceed from here? How do I go forward from here? I need your guidance. I need your direction. I need your understanding. I need what only you can furnish me. It happens in the office place, folks. It happens in the home. It happens in the family. It happens in the church. One of the smartest things I ever learned to do when I first came into the ministry was just, I had a self-winding watch, but I would pretend at times to slow down and be checking my watch like I was winding while I'm thinking. How do I react to this? How do I respond to this? How do I respond to this comment? How do I respond to this observation? How do I respond to this question? And you're faced with that every day.
Amen.
You're faced with it every day. Face reality and know that you are, because that's the way it is. There's a lot that goes on in the religious community that, and as well as the church. I separate the two. In the religious community, you've got some 4,000 expressions of religion. You got one church.
That's right.
The church is comprised of those who have been born again. Purchased by the blood of Christ, adopted into the family of God, indwelt by the Spirit of God. That is the church.
Hello.
It's not the religious community. We have a large religious community, but we don't have that much church. in that community. You have to understand in the church, outside the church, you have deceptive words, deceptive teaching, deceptive doctrine. Have you ever taken the time to look at some major religious movements here in the United States of America and check their doctrine and the basis of the doctrine and what they teach, what they stand on? It's scary, folks. It's scary. And you got multitudes today. You got multitudes sitting in church being deceived, have been deceived, being further deceived, and will be deceived and die and go to hell.
Hello.
Unless truth breaks through. And you may be the only source. You may be the only light. You may be the only source of truth in their life. Sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. You see, we have a tremendous misrepresentation of Scripture in religious organizations. They twist the Scripture to make it say, and remember this now, I'm non-denominational. I am non-denominational. I was a Southern Baptist. I was ordained as a Southern Baptist. I grew up in Southern Baptist churches and Baptist churches. And then when I was at Epworth by the Sea, I've told you this before, I was up at Epworth by the Sea just spending 2 or 3 days alone with the Lord. And leaving the lunchroom that day, I saw this article where the Southern Baptist Convention had determined they would not ordain a man as a home missionary who had been married and divorced. And I picked the paper up and I took it back and I said, well, Lord, suppose he didn't want the divorce.
Hello.
Suppose he didn't file for divorce. Suppose he tried to save the marriage and she wouldn't hear to it. I said, we're going to say to him now, I'm a Southern Baptist. We're going to say to him, you cannot teach, you cannot preach, you cannot pastor. I said, I don't think it's right. And the Lord spoke to my spirit and said, will you leave him? Phew. That caught me by surprise. I said, well, you know, my annuity. That's a pathetic thing to mention, but that's one of the first things I thought about. My annuity! But over the next 2 or 3 days, as he dealt with me, and I was on my knees one morning, he said, leave them. And I said, okay, I'll leave. And I did. And, of course, as I look what's happened now to the denomination, it's, of course, it's made some other mistakes. It's made some other decisions that are unbiblical. But the point I'm trying to make here is, you cannot twist the Scriptures to fit your application or your desire.
No.
Scripture is Scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept. And we receive it like that. Colossians 2:5, Paul says, for though I am absent, yeah, he was absent, all right, he was in jail. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Even as Paul was writing this from prison, he could say, I'm with you. I am with you in spirit. He took great delight and comfort. He said, I'm rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith. Oh, boy. Are you steadfast in the faith? What does it mean to be steadfast in the faith? No compromise. Now, folks, this sounds legalistic, but it's the Word of God.
Amen.
You cannot compromise and be faithful to God on things spiritual. You can't do it. And we live in a world full of compromise. In this day, in this hour in which we live in a world full of compromise, and I'll develop that even further, but the thing I want you to see is Colossians 2:6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. What's He meaning? He says you received Christ. You say Christ is your Savior. You say Christ is your Lord. Represent Him.
Hello.
Live out your life in subjection to Him. In submission to Him. Submit to Him. Walk out who you are. What are you? What are you? Regardless of the denomination you hang on yourself, you're a sinner saved by grace.
Amen.
If you've been born again, you're a sinner saved by grace.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you are. And walk out what you are. Walk out what you are. What are you? Stop and think about this now. If I ask you, what are you? You say, well, I'm an adopted child of God. I've been adopted by God into the family of God. I've been adopted. Well, as one who's been adopted, that makes you a believer priest, according to the Word of God. You are a believer priest. Now listen to me. As a believer priest, you have access to the creative power of the universe. As a believer priest, you can take the Supreme Court before the ruler of the universe. You can take the presidency. You can take every state Supreme Court, every state legislative system. You can take anything and everything in the world before the throne of God because you, as a believer priest, have access to the throne of God.
Amen.
Not only that, as a believer priest, you are an adopted child of God. You belong to God. You are His child. You can go into His presence and say, Dad, Father, I'm here to talk to you. Got a concern here. I'm a little bit concerned about what's going on in the nation. So not only are you a believer priest, but the Word of God says that you're an ambassador for Christ. As an ambassador for Christ, you represent the kingdom of God. Are you hearing this?
Yes, sir.
Do you realize that every demon out of hell hates you? And do you realize that every day of the world, Satan is trying to compromise you? Every day of the world, Satan is trying to intimidate you, make you doubt who you are, make you doubt what is accessible to you? Do you stop and realize when you get up in the morning, wait a moment, I have access to the throne of God, the creative power of the universe. And I'm going to exercise that right. I'm going to go into His throne. I'm going into His presence. And I'm going to talk to Him about, name it, international affairs, national affairs. I'm not bragging. I'm going to say, this is my life. I go before the throne of God, and I talk about the nations of the world. And I talk about the church in the nations of the world. And the advancement of the kingdom of God in the nations of the world. And I take the city mayors before God. I take the state legislators before God. I take the Supreme Court before God. I take the Senate before God. I take the Congress before God. I take it all before God.
Amen.
Why? Because I'm an ambassador for Christ. I'm a believer priest with access to the throne of God. And I can walk in all the power. All the power that I'm willing to receive, we go through life, all of this hurts. And I think something's wrong here. Oh, must be something wrong here. For crying out loud, understand who you are in Christ Jesus. Okay, so you got an ache or a pain. Talk to Him about it. Get His mind. Get His leadership, His guidance, His direction. And then obey Him.
Amen.
Are you hearing this?
Yes, sir.
You see, I want you to rise above complacency. I don't want anybody in Challenge Ministries walking in complacency. I want us to each recognize who we are, what we are, all we are, and exercise our throne rights before the throne of God on a daily basis.
Yes,
sir. So I'm a believer priest. I'm an ambassador for Christ. I'm a soldier of the cross. I'm a soldier of the cross. It's warfare.
Yes,
sir. Every day of the world, you're in warfare. But you can get up every day of the world saying, well, Lord, I'm not mad at anybody, but it's warfare, and I'm going to be a good soldier of the cross. I'm going to pray like a soldier of the cross. I'm going to attack all hell like a soldier of the cross. I'm going to attack the things in this nation that I know are ungodly and holy. I am going to be a soldier because you are a soldier.
Amen.
Colossians 2:7. Rooted and built up in Him, Did you get that? Rooted. Are you rooted? Yes. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Rooted in Christ Jesus. Do you understand that? It says rooted. You are rooted in Christ Jesus. I didn't write this. I didn't write it. I'm just teaching it. You as a believer priest are rooted in Christ Jesus. Now, what does that mean to you? It means this. It means you draw everything you need from Christ Jesus. You draw everything you need to face this moment you're in now. You draw everything you need to face the moment of tomorrow. You draw everything. You draw the strength for the day. You draw the wisdom, the knowledge, the sensitivity, the know-how. You draw everything from Him because root. Once again, here it is. Rooted in Christ Jesus. Do you realize that being one rooted in Christ Jesus, you can draw from Jesus Christ every single solitary thing you need.
Amen.
To walk victoriously. That doesn't keep you out of the battles. That doesn't mean you won't have a back pain. That doesn't mean you won't have a sickness of some kind. It just means that because you are who you are, where you are, in who you are, you have access to Him. No matter what's going on in your life, physically, emotionally, spiritually, whatever it is, you have access. Utilize that access. Built in Him. Built up in Him. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Do you realize that your body is the temple of God, that the creative power of the universe indwells you? Folks, I didn't write this. I just teach it. But rooted in Him, built up in Him, recipient of the Holy Spirit of God, the creative power of the universe, grounded in Him, strengthened in Him, strengthened by Him, strengthened by Him. As you have been taught, sound, solid doctrine. Sound. This wasn't in the message, but it needs to be said. Slow down and listen to me. Get off the throne of your life. Get off the throne of your life.
Hello.
Enthrone Christ Jesus on the throne of your life. Get off the throne of your life. Once you get off the throne of your life and quit trying to be your own God in your life and say to Him, be Lord of my life. Be Lord of my life. That's going to change everything you are and everything you do.
Hello.
Folks have been at it a while. And I've stood in the pulpit and I preached to people. I knew in my heart of hearts they were probably one heartbeat from hell. And some of them in church leadership. It's a hard thing to penetrate at times. Colossians 2:8. I know that God's in this thing. Let me suggest this. There are people who need to once a day. No, not once a day. People who need to get on their knees. As if I'm just religious, but not saved. Have mercy on me. See, a lot of people are religious, but they've never been born again. They're not a new creation. They're not enabled, indwelt, empowered by the Spirit of God. Yes, they're involved in religious routines and religious thinking and religious thought processes, but they have never become a new creation in Christ Jesus. They don't know what it is to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy. Through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ? What is philosophy? Let me give you a classic definition of philosophy. Philosophy is a systematic study of fundamental questions regarding existence, knowledge, reality, ethics, and reason. Or just a bucket full of garbage. It's a bucket full of garbage. That's what it is. No getting away from it. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men. And the world is full of that. In so many areas, the world is full of that. And he says, beware lest you be deceived. That's good advice for us. According to the basic principles of the world and not according to Christ. The basic principles of the world are basically ungodly. Think about what I'm saying. The basic principles of the world are basically ungodly principles. We live in a world, folks. I mentioned this a while ago and I told you I'd mention it again. We live in a world of political, spiritual compromise.
Amen.
That's simple. We live in a world full of political, spiritual compromise. The question you have to ask yourself, am I part of it? Is there spiritual compromise in my life, trying to fit in,
Hello.
Be accepted, not be rejected? These are questions each of us have to deal with. Colossians 2:9. For in him, Jesus, dwells all the fullness, oh my soul. In him, in Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You know what he's saying? In Christ Jesus, you have God in the flesh.
Hello.
It's that simple. In Christ Jesus, you have God in the flesh. And that is an awesome, awesome spiritual reality. To stop and think about what we're saying. That in Christ Jesus, you have God, the creative power of the universe, in the flesh. God in the flesh. When you stop and think about that and you say, well, wait a minute. He was God in the flesh, and I've been born again. I've been adopted into the family of God. I'm indwelt by the creative power of the universe. All hell can't stop me.
Hello.
All hell can't stop me. Colossians 2:10. And you, are you ready for this? You're complete. You are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Meaning this, that you have total completeness in Christ Jesus, who is the head of the entire spirit realm of the universe. Well, then that means if you're complete in him, there's nothing lacking.
No.
Now, in him, don't lose sight of that. You're not complete in you as you are now, but you are complete in Christ Jesus. And when you are born again, you are placed in Christ Jesus. You become a part of his body, and you are in Christ Jesus. And as one in Christ Jesus, you, my friend, have access to everything that God has ever done or is doing.
Amen.
You're complete in him. Complete in Christ. You see, if you receive this message this morning, you'll walk out of here and you'll say to all hell, bring it on.
Yes. Amen.
Bring it on. I'm up to you. Why? Because I got Christ in me. I'm an adopted child of God. I'm a believer priest. I'm an ambassador for Christ. You'll be a threat to hell.
Right.
Unfortunately, too much of the church doesn't understand this spiritual truth, and they're not a threat to hell, which is why we are where we are today. And you are complete in him. That says it all. Lacking nothing. God's approval. You have God's approval. Everything that God has is at your disposal. It's not name and claim it. It's believe and receive it. But understand, you have to know who you are in Christ. That does not make you immune to a backache, a headache, a pain, or sickness, or disease. It does not make you immune from that. But it means this. It means, glory be to God, you'll have the grace to come through it.
Amen.
You'll have the grace, the strength, and the joy to come through. Satan wants to steal your joy. Every day of the world, he wants to steal your... And let me tell you something. I know in a message like this, and this will be on the radio probably Tuesday or Wednesday, but I know in a message like this, you've got people listening saying, can I receive that? Can I believe that? Can I really believe and receive what this man is saying? Well, I'm going to say what God's Word says.
Amen.
So your decision is, do I believe God? Do I believe who I am that God says I am? Do I believe I have access to all that God says I have access? It's not name it and claim it.
No.
It's believe it, receive it. That's the difference. It's believe it and receive it. Colossians 2:11, we're about through. And in him, you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. As one born again, you've had a spiritual circumcision. The cutting away of the old sin nature. Adam, Eve, newly created, did not have a sin nature. Adam didn't have a sin nature. Eve didn't have a sin nature. But they had will. They had will. And they chose to exercise that will contrary to the Word of God. And we now have, we're born with a sin nature. You came into this world with a sin nature. And until a person is born again, they'll go out of this world with a sin nature unless they're born again. But once you understand, wait a minute now, Adam and Eve did not have a sin nature, but they had will. And they exercised that will in disobedience to God. We have, we do, and we will. If you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself. The truth is not in you. But we have the same option. Colossians 2:12. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. See, baptism through immersion represents that. Death, burial, resurrection. That's what is symbolized by baptism through immersion. But understand this. The thief on the cross was never baptized. The thief on the cross was never baptized. He was nailed to a cross. Christ is nailed to a cross beside him. He's listening to the interchange between Christ and that other thief. And somewhere in all of his pain and suffering, and turning and looking and turning and looking and turning and looking, he got to thinking, wait a minute. This man, I've heard about him. He's handling this differently. And hanging on that cross, hours from death, he turned to Jesus. And he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. How's that for a confession? Remember me when you come to your kingdom. And Jesus, hanging there in all the pain and agony, crucified, turned and said to him, verily I say unto you, this day you'll be with me in paradise.
Amen.
You're going to hang on that cross, and you're going to die, and you're going to go to glory. You're not going to be baptized. You're not going to be this. You're not going to be that. You're not going to be never join a church. Never sing a hymn. Never sit through a message. You're just going to hang there and die and go to heaven. Why? Because you believed. Because you believed. I want to see that old boy. So Someday in glory, I want to meet that thief. I'm going to say, so you're the guy that was hanging on the cross that said, remember me when you come in your glory. Nice to meet you. Do you understand all that glory has for you? You see, one split second after you get to glory, we do everything we can to keep from going to glory. I got to stay healthy. I got to eat this. I got to eat that. I got to do this. I got to do that. My soul, I can't. Oh, and then one split second after you die, you wouldn't come back here anyway. Amen. You say, glory be to God. Hallelujah forever. Amen. I'm in glory.
Amen.
Father God, it's not very polished, but it's truth. Not very polished, but it's truth. And I'm asking you, my Father, my God, to stir the hearts of your people with a fresh understanding of who they are and all they are in Christ Jesus. Believe the Word, receive the Word, and walk out of this place today knowing nothing out of hell can defeat me. Because Christ in me, the hope of glory, indwelt by the Spirit of God, adopted into the family of God, a child of God, a soldier of the cross, an ambassador for Christ, I will walk in victory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And all of God's people said,
amen.